Well, dear friends, let us turn back to John's Gospel, chapter 1. John, chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now the catechism questions and answers. We go back to question 21. Who is the Redeemer of God's chosen ones? The only Redeemer of God's chosen is the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God who became man. He was and continues to be God and man in two distinct nature and one person forever. How did Christ, the Son of God, become man? Christ, the Son of God, became man by assuming a real body and a reasoning soul. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, who gave birth to Him, yet He was sinless. Dear friends, in our studies of the Shorter Catechism, we have come to the point of beginning to look at the work of the Holy Spirit. And I thought it might be good if we stop for a while and do some revision. And let me commend to you the Shorter Catechism. It is so helpful. Now, every one of you would have a copy, either in English or Chinese. I don't know about Indonesian or Greek, there should be such translations, but go back to your own copy and read it and read it and read it again. I've told you before, an older, a well-renowned Reformed Baptist pastor, Stuart Olliott, he told us in a conference that every day he read and then prayed over the Shorter Catechism. And he's a very learned man, a man greatly used of the Lord. And I thought, well, if Pastor Olliott could do that, perhaps I may try to follow his example. Now we're going to stop a while and look at Christmas. And in so doing, we're going back to do some revision. I take our text tonight in John 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. I would think, even in the whole Bible, you can scarcely find four words which are as amazing as these four. The Word became flesh. Now let us look at these four words. Firstly, let us consider, what is the word here? Now the word here in Greek is logos. When it is translated into Chinese, it is called Tao. I got a lot of Chinese people asking me when I went to them John chapter 1. And so on, they say, I thought you people are Christians. But you say, Tao. Are you Taoist? You believe in Taoism? And who is this Tao? Well, Tao is the old Chinese way of saying word. Word. Now, what is this word like? Or who is this word? You go back to John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was right there long before the creation. The Word was eternal. Before there was this universe, there was the Word. Let us press on in verse 1. And the Word was with God. The Word was not only eternal, the Word from all eternity was literally face to face with God. The word with here is telling us of a most personal, intimate relationship between the Word and God. Now, sometimes you may come across people who may be not stable mentally or mentally retarded, and they would come very close to your face and they talk to you like that. And you think that is rude, isn't it? How come you're speaking to me so close to my face? What is your intention? Now, we older one, and later on you younger people will know, well, that very close speaking, you will serve it to your wife or husband. You don't speak to anyone else in that close manner except to your wife or husband. That is really very close. And that is the idea here. The Word was face to face with God. Face to face, eye to eye, mouth to mouth. Wow. With God. And then John goes on to say, and the Word was with God. Sorry, the Word was God. I'm so glad that you were reading your Bible and you pick up the mistake. Now, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word was in the beginning, as we are told, right there in verse 1, was in the beginning, was eternal, it was face with God, and the Word was God. Now friends, I'm sorry to bring up this big word. This is the Bible's teaching on the Trinity. We believe in one God, but in three distinct persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Word, the Son of God, was divine, was God, and yet He was distinct from the Father. He was face to face with God. And that is the teaching of John. And by the way, John was a fisherman. He didn't go to university. I doubt he even went to high school. And he couldn't invent anything like this. He was given by the inspiration of God. Now let us press on. In verse 2, he says, He, the Word, was with God in the beginning. And verse 3, through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. You got the idea? The Word was the Creator. The Word was the agent of creation. Without the Word, nothing was made that was made. And furthermore, in verse 4, in Him was life, and that life was the light of man. Oh, my dear friends, here we are told The Word was the source of life. Everything that got life comes from the Word. You look at anything in the universe, the fishes, the flowers, the birds in the air, we human beings, and things you can't see, angels. Everything that got life, plants, they all come because of the Word. Now, my friends, who is the Word? Finney? Don't say you don't know, you must know. Who is the Word? Sorry? Jesus? Do you say Jesus? I hope you say that. Now, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is fully God. Fully God. Therefore, my dear friends, any religion, any church that doesn't teach us, that doesn't believe that Jesus is fully God, we must reject. You know the people who knock at your doors, the Jehovah's Witnesses? They do not believe that Jesus is fully God. And we must not receive them. They carry a Bible, but they don't really believe that Jesus is fully God. And the Mormons are very nice people. So they appear, and we do not doubt that. They dress very nicely, in a very respectable manner, but they don't believe in the Holy Trinity. They don't believe there's one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we must not follow them. Jesus Christ is fully God. But what are we told here in our text? The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. What does that mean? The word flesh means Jesus is fully human as well. Now, this is the most amazing thing, and I hope to explain this to you. The eternal Son of God, remaining as God, he became human. Now, go back to your newsletter, look at the Shorter Catechism question and answer in 21. It says about the eternal Son of God who became man, and he was and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. When the eternal Son of God became man, he continues to be God. That means the baby born in Bethlehem was God. The baby sucking Mary's breast was God. The baby whom Mary and Joseph taught the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Dalet, was God. Amazing, isn't it? But remaining as God, he became man. And the Lord Jesus Christ has two distinct natures, divine and human. He has a divine nature, he has a human nature, and he's not two persons, but one person only. When the Word became flesh, Godhood and manhood were joined together in one person. My dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is not a superman. He is not an angel. He is not a hybrid, like one of these hybrid cars, half electric, half run by petrol and a sheep. Jesus Christ is not like that. The Lord Jesus Christ is not higher than man and lower than God, but the Lord Jesus Christ is truly God and truly man. Now, if you go back to our text in verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and make his dwelling among us. John can say, Jesus lived with us for 3 years. He makes his dwelling with us. But it goes on to say, but we have seen his glory. We have seen his unique glory, the glory that came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I'm sorry to use this illustration, but maybe it is helpful. Can you imagine a most beautiful and graceful young lady who doesn't need any makeup or airbrushing? She's just so gracious, so beautiful. And she went to Southern Sudan to be an aid worker. And he works among the refugees. Would her beauty diminish because of that? I don't think so. We are going to say, well, this dear lady is more beautiful because of her coming down to the level of needy people. So, my dear friends, is our Lord Jesus Christ. He came among us and lived among us. And John could remember once on the Mount of Transfiguration, he saw the only glory, the glory of that unique Son of God. Now, friends, do you understand? Oh, friends, if you understand, I won't believe you. Because this is impossible to understand. We have never come across any human being who is truly God. How can we understand someone who is God and man at the same time? You know, friends, when Jesus wept, he really wept. When Jesus got hungry, he was really hungry. When Jesus learned the Hebrew alphabet, he really learned it. And yet, he is the creator and maker of all things. We can only say what the Bible teaches. We cannot really fully understand it. This is a mystery. But we go on to ask this question. Why God, man? Why? Why did God become man? Gerard, can you help us here? Why did God become man? Sorry?
So that he can reconcile with God.
Right. So that Jesus can reconcile us back to God. That's right. The eternal Son of God become man in order to save us. The eternal Son of God became man in order to die for us. Now, my dear friends, we know, we all know, we have to die one day. But none of us would say, to die is the purpose of my life. To live is our purpose, not to die. But the eternal Son of God became flesh in order to die our death. Quite often, I told people who got no Christian background, especially in funeral, these two things. I say, you understand Christmas, you understand Easter, and then you understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must know that the eternal Son of God became flesh, Christmas, in order that he should die for us, Easter, and he conquered death, and he is risen. Why God man? To save us, mankind, from sin, from the devil, from hell. That's the reason. My dear friends, tonight we learn of the amazing coming down of the eternal Son of God to save us. But let me ask you before I close, is this only merely theory? Is this only theology? Tonight, are you resting and trusting in Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? This is the amazing love of God. The eternal Son of God became flesh in order to save us, to save our flesh, to save our body, to raise us up from death and sin to eternal life. Oh, friends, make sure that you are resting and trusting in the eternal Son of God. And Christmas will be really Christmas to us. Shall we pray? O Lord our God, in this hot afternoon, our mind may not be very alert, yet, O God, help us to trust fully in the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the Son of God became flesh for us and for our salvation. O Lord, help us to be resting and trusting in you. For Jesus' sake, Amen.